from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
He brings the passion.
For what? I want to know now. I'm mentally invested. Don't tell me to pray and you don't say what for.
He brings the perspective.
Yeah, I think they both have a great point.
Get off me, text line.
He's truly one of a kind.
That is wow.
Oh, my God.
Oh. And he's doing a great job.
Okay. I need you to man up and say what you really want to say.
Simon, you're doing a great job.
They are Stiney and Guru.
Yeah.
On 95.7 The Game.
All right, what is going on, Bay Area? Evan Giddings in from Matt Steinmetz. Daryl the Guru Johnson. Goo, I'm recharged. I'm revamped. I'm a little jet lagged. I'm feeling kind of all over the place, to be quite honest with you, because, you know, a lot happened while I was gone. But first things first, I'm just glad to see your face. I'm glad to see Carter Chickering's face. I'm glad to see Sam Loveman's face, the boss, Bonte Butch, Lucas, everybody. I'm glad to be back in the saddle, man.
They
what's
call
happening?
That familiar. Yeah.
Oh,
family,
yeah.
Lick it, Goo. But we missed you, Evan. Hope you had a great time. And the people want to know about the great time, so I'll pepper you with some questions about your beautiful vacation in Sweden.
Well, we can get to that maybe a little bit later in the show. We'll try and space it out. All right, we got 5 days, you and I, so I'm looking forward to that. We can have some lessons from abroad. How about that?
Look,
but we'll keep it later in the show.
And when I saw you last, it was slow time, Evan. We got whatever you want: basketball, football. We got it all.
Well, yes. I mean, gosh, I left Tyler Fitzgerald in Sacramento. I came back. He's Babe Ruth.
This is incredible.
The political landscape changed quite a bit while I was gone as well. And then apparently. Trying to
figure out.
Even my nieces and nephews knew what was going on. Oh my God.
Oh boy.
But, you know, what? There's action with the 49ers in training camp. We got hold ins. We got hold outs. And we're going to talk about the hold in with Mark Schlereth.
Yeah. He had some comments about IU.
Yes, he did. We're going to talk with him at 12:30 later on today. But where we got to start is the San Francisco Giants. I think it's the topic that everyone is wondering, you know, which direction are they going to go? Are they going to be sellers? Are they going to be buyers? They don't play until the deadline is over tomorrow at 3 o'clock Pacific Standard when they take on the A's in the last Bay Bird series here in San Francisco. But which direction are they going to go, Goo?
I'll tell you what. And while you were gone, I know you tuned in that one day.
Remember,
we shouted you out. So I hope that gave you some love and sweet Dan. But I'm a lover. I'm a baseball romantic, a sports romantic. So all I do is follow the standings, E, and the Giants. Hey, look, I'm not going to tell anybody that this has not been, up until this point, a disappointing season. But when you tell me after the 4-game sweep of the Rockies, who are terrible, by the way, Evan, that you're only 3.5 back of your goal, and that's to qualify for the party, i.e. the Arizona Diamondbacks that used that and went to the World Series last year, how the hell can any Giant fan from afar say you want to see this team sail? And if you sail to me, you're waving the white flag, Evan, but I'm going Jim Carrey. You're saying there's a chance. So to me, if I don't believe Farhan's in any trouble, a lot of people do. I'm not in the know, but if I'm Farhan and I am actually fighting for my life, shout out Mark Jackson, I'm buying by tomorrow come the deadline, because we're only, after this weekend, 3.5 back.
Yeah, it's like from afar, I think a lot of people are looking at the Giants and you would wonder why they would buy, right? Because they're 2 games below 500. Sure, they just swept the Rockies in 4 games, but the Rockies are, you know, what was it they said in Moneyball? There's, you know, there's the top teams, there's 50 pile of crap, 50 feet of crap, and then there's the Colorado Rockies. So they're not a very good team. But from afar, Han, you do have to look at this roster and say, basically, how are we going to salvage this season? I think that's the question they're trying to figure out, and that's going to determine whether they sell or whether they buy. To me, Gu, I don't know how much they can buy. All I know is that I don't want to see this team sell. And that may sound ridiculous. Yeah. That may sound stupid and idiotic. And I've been watching some baseball from afar, so I've kind of just been viewing it as a fan. This team is not great. This team is not bad. This team is somewhere stuck in the middle. It's probably symbolic of where they've been for what seems like the last 5 or 6 years with Farhan Zaidi. They are officially 2/3 of the way through the season, and they have been above 500 for 4 days.
Damn.
That is the definition of mediocrity.
Man.
That is below average. That's where they've sat. But I still can't sit up in here, and we can get into all the reasons why, but I do not feel like this is a team that wants to sell. I do not think this is a front office that wants to sell. And though a lot of fans believe that's the route to go, I think it's just because they're fed up and they're done with this front office.
Wow. I hear you, Evan, and nobody can tell us that this season up until this juncture has not been a disappointment. Guys have been underperforming all across the roster. So to try to find a positive, what if you get hot, Evan? What if you talked about Fitzgerald? He's in his Ramos zone right now. Ramos used the first half, come back to earth, but he used the first half to parlay that into an all-star berth. So I'm betting on things to get better and guys to play better. But damn it, Evan, you saw Robbie Ray, who pitches tomorrow against the A's. If you're telling me you could actually qualify and pick between Webb Snell or Robbie Ray, the good Robbie Ray, for a 1-game wild card, I'll take that all day. And then if you were able to get in, shout out Too Short, if you could get in, Evan, and you got Snell, you got Ray, and you got Webb, I'll take that over a lot of rotation. So I know it sounds like I'm dreaming, but from that standpoint, damn it, I'm adding or I'm not selling, because if I sell, I got over a $200 million payroll. I went shopping. You admit air there. But I heard Shasky and Bonte. Great show. Bonte's pro buy. Paraphrasing for Shasky, sell. But if you sell and redo it, are you so confident that you got the right guys to bring you back? So to me, Evan, I'm going all in, man. I'm poker term, all in, baby.
Well, that is the one thing that I don't think the Giants will be, because they, under Farhan Zaidi, have never been an all-in team. Like, if you just look at the previous 5 deadlines, let's just go through them,
okay.
Right? 2019, first year Farhan Zaidi, last year Bruce Bochy. They were sellers. They moved off Melanson and I think Sam Dyson to a somewhat of an extent, but they weren't a team. They didn't move off of Bumgarner, right? When they could have.
Yeah.
They chose to keep him. And then the next few years in 2020, they were 17-19 at the deadline, pandemic shortened season. They did neither. They didn't sell. They didn't buy. In 2021, they bought, but at a price that was right for them, the miracle season, right? They got Chris Bryant. 2022,
man,
they were 500 at the deadline, 51 all. They did neither. They didn't move in one direction or the other. And then, of course, last season, I know that they technically were buyers. They added players. But in my opinion, adding A.J. Pollock is not a move that moves the needle for me one way or the other.
I hear that.
So this is a front office that generally has stood pat at the deadline. They do not do either. They do not sell. They do not buy. And that's why I think that that's the most likely outcome right now. But to me, the one thing they cannot do, and again, there's a lot of evidence that suggests that they should be the ones to sell. They can't do it.
Yeah. Wow.
I do not believe that this team can sell. Because the question you need to ask yourself if you're a Giants fan is, yes, there's been, you know, 5 years, you're pissed off. Are they going to do this? Are they going to do that? I'm not even looking at the rest of the schedule. They got 54 games left. It's the easiest schedule in baseball. Whatever. That doesn't matter. The question to me is, Gu, do you think that you're good enough to get the final wild card spot in the National League?
Wonderful question, Evan. We kind of posed, threw it out there last week, Stani and I, and I put something in the cap. We were talking about bad takes and good takes that we hit on and missed. And mine was, I believe the Giants are going to win a playoff series. Now, they got to go out there and handle their business. But that premise is based on, when you look at this roster, now the rotation, Snell's got his groove back. Evan, I think they are. But about what you just laid out, the past deadlines, would you allow me to, you know, introduce this to the jury? Farhan had he had confidence that he was going nowhere. What about if there is some lemon booty pressure involved? If he is really under the gun, maybe he'll do something different because his job is on the line. Do you buy that?
100%.
Okay. But I don't think his job is on the line. I think the Johnsons don't care. You fire Gabe Kapler. He was the scapegoat. Bah. But look at what you've done since he's gone, and you gave him a new contract. So to me, I don't think there's any – I hate it. I thought he should have been out with Kapler. But what if I tell you I don't feel like Farhan's fighting for his job?
I think he is. Yeah, and that's why I do think that this deadline is extremely important. Because whatever direction they choose to go, I think also determines the future of Farhan Zaidi in one way or another. If they choose to sell, there is a possibility that they just tank the rest of the season. They move off from him at the end. But I don't know about you. I get the feeling that if this Giants team sell, which is what the fans appear to want.
A majority like
that,
of that's Twitter the consensus. Is all, yeah, Twitter, X. Yeah.
Get rid of everybody you can. You'll sell Snell. Move off of Chapman. You know, sell, trade whoever you can to recoup some prospects and kind of start this thing anew. I almost believe that if their sellers at the deadline, it indicates that Farhan Zaidi believes that he's got some job security.
Wow.
That he doesn't feel like he's on the hot seat, because otherwise, why would you sell?
Yeah.
Like, if you really think that you're out the door at the end of the season, and the only thing that can save your job is to make the playoffs, then why the hell would you sell?
Well, maybe because your boss knows what time it is, and we brought this up Friday, Evan. I didn't agree with it, but Stani was saying maybe the ownership, I'm paraphrasing, takes the keys from Farhan and says, hey, you want to go buy that? No, we know where we're at. We're realistic. We're not going to allow you to do that. But Evan, again, I keep looking at the standings. The Giants are not a 53-55 team. They played that way. They've earned their record. I think they're better. And I would stand pat and try to add something that was, you know, that made sense. But if guys can get hot, we're seeing Fitzgerald come out of nowhere. And I know it's a short sample size, but what if that was infectious and guys put their best foot forward for these last 54 games? I just that Arizona Diamondback run last year to me is the reason I would not sell. But if you sell, Evan, then what are we talking about next year and the year after? It's just like this bad era of Giant baseball continues. Evan, they haven't won a playoff series since 2014.
That's a long time.
That's a decade, bro.
That's a long ass time.
Man.
And they've been in the playoffs since 2014 twice.
Wow, that's even worse.
Exactly. Yeah. Two times in the last 10 years, right?
Cubs and Dodgers.
2016, yeah. And then 2021. And that's what they're looking at right now between both regimes. Not just, this ain't just Farhan, too. You know, the 4 years before that were under, what was it, Bobby Evans.
Yeah.
So. Right now, the Giants, yeah, they're not looked at nationally like a team that is just going to come out of nowhere, but that's almost why, Goop, again, I'm reading the tea leaves of this front office, and I do not think that this is a group, unless, to Steiny's point, they are demanded to sell by ownership.
And we'll never know until it's all said and done, right?
But I don't think in ownership that green lights you spending $200-plus million this offseason is going to turn their head less than a full season into that direction.
Yeah, I'm with you.
They got 54 games left. They are two-thirds of the way through the season. They got a third of the season left. And that third of the season, to me, is going to dictate which direction this franchise goes.
Yeah, Evan, I'm older than you, so I can remember where there was just four divisions. And if you, you know, the guru computer, if you were nine back going into September, I felt like you had action, or eight. But good God, 54 games left. You're 3.5 out. Like you said, they haven't won five games in a row all year. They've done it three times, the third time being this weekend. I do wonder, Evan, how are the powers to be, let's just say Farhan's bosses, are they looking at this weekend like it was just the Rockies who we lost two or three out the break that just really had people down? But Evan, I'm with you, pal. I just don't see a scenario to where, okay, hey, our goal, it's in the rent. I'm not selling. Why would I when my pitching is the best component of our team? And if guys can get hot at the dish, anything can happen. And the Diamondbacks, I'm going to say that all day. They used the wild card to get to the World Series last year, and nobody saw that coming.
What direction do you want the Giants to go in? 888-957-9570. Evan Gittings in for Matt Stein, Matt Sterl, the Guru Johnson. Got a piece of news, Goo.
Uh-oh.
From the pitch.
Okay.
Well, at least that's what they call it overseas. From the gridiron.
Football. I was like, damn, the pitch.
The amount of times I had to switch between football and soccer, they were just calling me an ugly American 10 days in a row. This is from Adam Schefter of ESPN. The 49ers have announced that they've activated wide receiver Ricky Pearsall from the active/non-football injury list. So Pearsall is going to be active for practice. Brandon Ayuk, it appears, will not be.
Wow, and again, Evan, that's good news for the Niners because, I'm a worry wart. I was a worry wart. I was thinking, man, is this dude, did he pop his hammy? I mean, this is bad, but it looks like he'll be back. And I just wonder if we're talking about Brandon Ayuk's replacement, who, again, since you left and nobody's shocked, he's holding in. Just real quick here, Evan, do you think this thing gets worked out in regard to Ayuk getting his money? And I know we got Stink Mark Schlaer coming on at 12:30. He has some strong comments, but do you think it's going to get... Do you think this is going to work for Brandon?
I think it is. Ooh. And I think it's going to, more importantly, work for the 49ers either way. I'm not sure. I don't see Ayuk getting traded right now. And the date to kind of circle in my mind, and again, we can talk about this at 12:30 with Mark Schlaer coming up on the River Islands text line, or the River Islands guest line, pardon me. But I think that it has to do with August 1st. That's the date that Deebo Samuel inked his contract with the 49ers.
All right.
So a lot of people have been putting that out there as well. That's kind of the due date, essentially, for Ayuk, because he's not resetting the market. It's not a Bosa situation. And he's kind of in the same spot that Deebo was. But now it appears like that Ricky Pearsall is out active. He's got some less leverage.
Yeah.
So everything is going to be monitored in terms of, 49er land down in Santa Clara. What's going on there? What's going on with Trent Williams? I know we got a victory left to take a little bit later in the show. But what do you want? And I'm asking the people, what do you want the Giants to do in less or a little bit more than 24 hours? 3:00 is the deadline tomorrow, Tuesday, and they don't play until then. So all you have to judge the Giants on is what you've seen for the first 108 games of this season. And on paper, it hasn't looked very good. Like, again, they've spent 4 days above 500 as a team.
That's a problem.
That's not all, but that's not very inspiring, right? But I just feel like with where they are, and I'm talking about the front office, I don't think that they're going to give in. And I wouldn't necessarily suggest that they give in, because selling in other sports generally involves a tank, right? You're trying to aim for draft position. Maybe you're trying to aim to, improve your roster for down the line. In baseball, that's not as easy of a task. You do have to thread the needle a bit, which is what they've done again over the last five trade deadlines. They tried to thread needles. It's worked once in 2021, although they didn't win a playoff series. That's the only time in which they've been, in my opinion, aggressive. The only time that Farhan Zaidi has sold, has been an official seller, was his very first season as president of baseball operations.
Man.
That's the only time. So I don't see that changing 5 years later, 6 years later.
And life comes at you fast. You say that was his first year, and we thought a lot of people did. He was building something. By the time the fifth year would come around, we wouldn't even be talking about wild card. Maybe the Giants would be battling the Dodgers for a division, but that's not going to happen this year. But I do feel like there's pressure. There's pressure on Farhan, but what will he do? And what's interesting and what I like about the deadline this year, Evan, is by the time they take on the Oakland A's, the deadline will have come and gone. What do they do? And again, they have not played their best baseball. 54 games is a lot to me in baseball for people to kind of change their direction. Look at Snell. He was horrible. You got another victory lap because when they announced Snell was coming here, he said, hey, everybody slow down. He's notoriously a slow starter, which he was, and it was kind of ugly. ERA over in the low nines by the break, and now he looks like Sandy Koufax, and Robbie Ray looked great, and then the old Mr. Reliable, Logan Webb. So Evan, why would I just run away from that and not roll the dice hoping guys with the bat can get hot and take it from there? And the 415 on the text line, are the Giants good enough to do something with the third wild card? I don't have that answer, but I damn sure would like to find out. And if I were to pose that question in Arizona last year about the Diamondbacks, people probably would have laughed and scoffed at it, and look what they did. So it's not about me giving you a concrete answer because I can't predict the future, but damn, Evan, give me a series, give me a playoff wild card game, especially when I spend $200 million in the offseason.
Yes, exactly. Like, that's the whole beginning of this, right? Is spending that much money to make the playoffs. So I do think that to me, you talk about being all in at the deadline. That was their all in.
That's it.
That was going all in on this season. I don't think you can pull the plug on the season if you've spent that much money.
Beautiful.
You cannot do it. And yeah, okay, this is from the 415. And I think it's a good point. Stop talking about buying and selling. I mean, those are just generic terms. Yeah. These are trades. Buying is done during free agency. That's when the Giants bought. They bought a lot of players. You have to look at these trades and consider what is on the other side of the trade, what the Giants receiving. This is a great opportunity to take advantage of teams who are desperate to make the playoffs and pick up great prospects to build future teams. That's from the 415. I'm imagining the only guy that is going to fetch you a big or a set of prospects is Blake Snell.
Yeah.
I don't think Matt Chapman is a guy that is going to get you a bevy of bullets in your farm system. So let's talk about it. Blake Snell's the guy. Do you sell Snell? Because that to me is the one name that every team right now is going to want. That's the only guy on this Giants team, as far as a rental is concerned, is the guy that I want.
Yeah, but Evan, if I'm as thirsty as we talked about as a Giant fan, and we haven't won in forever, to the 415, appreciate the text, but damn, why can't you look yourself in the mirror as one of those teams trying to make the playoffs? You're 3.5 back. Snell, to me, is going nowhere. I'm riding this bad boy out until we are officially eliminated, Evan. I'm sorry. I'm not pulling the plug on something I spent a lot of money on. So just from that standpoint, Snell is going to be our pitcher, and if he continues to be dominant or pitch the way he has, you got to feel like every time you go out on the bump, and Carter talked about it in the green room, if maybe the Giants aren't this team under 500, look, playing the schedule game like we play the Nats and the Reds. Well, guess what? You've been those teams all year long, but I just feel like all it takes is they've won four. I don't care who it's against, but Evan, if they could win 8 of the next 9, 10 of the next 13, then what are we talking about? That's why your boy is not pulling the plug.
Well, and that's why it's almost funny. Like, each time they've been at 6 games below 500 this year, they've quote unquote saved the season. Like, so when they've had their backs up against the wall, the team responds. Mm-hmm. The issue is that they can't get over the 500 hurdle.
Sustain.
Every time we think that they've turned a corner, they revert back to what we know them to be, which is a mediocre baseball club. For example, they were 19-25 on May 14th.
Ooh.
They responded by going 10-2. That was during the Pirates road trip.
In the Mets.
A lot of magic for the Giants on that trip, right?
Yeah.
On June 23rd, they were 36-42, 6 games below 500. They responded by going 8-3 on a trip that involved being on the road. I think they took 2 or 3 from the Braves. They're looking like they're starting to turn the corner, playing some baseball. And then the Dodgers came in, and they fell back to whatever. Right now, they're in the midst of potentially saving the season again, which is why it's interesting that the four-game sweep of the Colorado Rockies comes right after they look lackluster out of the All-Star game, and they're 6 games below 500, and now they're taking that shovel and they're digging themselves out of a hole again. So which Giants team do you expect? Do you expect this team to continue to roll, that they finally got some pitching on their side, that they finally look like they know what they're doing at the plate with a couple of these dudes? Or are they the team that once they get back to around or near 500, then they're going to soften up again?
Yeah, and that's what the Oakland A's mean to me when we watch this two-game set starting tomorrow night. Like, let's see it. And I'll read this to you, Evan. You tell me what you think. Adrian Gutierrez on the YouTube chat. This team has responded beating bad teams. That's very valid, but at some point or juncture, that has to change, and it starts with the A's tomorrow. And if they go out and lose to the A's at home, who have more power and play hard, shout out the Oakland Athletics. Evan, I'll be disappointed, but good God, Danker here on the chat. We need a bopper. Solaire has been a dud. You're right. My 30 home run bet with Steiny, I might as well just send him the Cash App right now, right? Because that ain't going to happen, Evan, unless he gets super hot. Thank you, Carter.
He's got 54 games, hit 18 home
runs. But, I mean, you're not going to get a bopper, Evan. But you know how many teams are really good? What you need, if I were to ask you, what do the Giants need? They need offense. But Solaire is your bopper. He's got to get out of whatever he's in. And it's been a season-long slump from a bopper standpoint, Danker. So you are right. But the reality of by tomorrow, they go get a bat. I'm not. Your bat is Solaire.
Well, and your bat, if you want to go get one, is going to cost you.
Mm.
So what are you willing to give
up? Me.
This isn't just about a name. I know that the morning show is thrown around Vladimir Guerrero Jr., if he's available potentially.
Toronto's acting like they're not getting off of him. And
I wouldn't.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
I wouldn't trade Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
And who's the shortstop I love?
For a King's ransom.
Yeah,
who's Bo Bichette?
Oh, yeah, Bichette. Like, they're not going anywhere, those two. Allegedly.
Well, Bichette might actually be going somewhere because they're probably going to have to choose which one they want to pay. And they could pay both of them. But they got a lot of money wrapped up for a team that has not looked like they can make, or I guess they made the playoffs 2 years ago, but in the AL East, it's really difficult to compete. So who do you want to pay? Bichette might be somebody that's available. You know,
well,
a team
huge.
Like the Chicago White Sox looking to sell parts. I mean, if you're talking about aiming high, if you're talking about swinging for the fences, something that the Giants have not been able to do that often this season.
Well, good one.
Luis Robert is the guy that I want.
I'll go to the airport and get him.
Luis Robert is the player, is the position player that I would want. If you're looking for a bopper, if you're looking for a big bat, that's who you want. But the bigger question that the Giants have to answer before they go out and trade for a position player, maybe add a little bit to the bullpen, is what do you do with Blake Snell? I mean, we're right now on MLB Network. The question just popped across the ticker, MLB Central. Will the Giants trade Blake Snell? And I want to know what fans think. 888-957-9570. Do you trade Blake Snell? Do you do it after striking out 15 batters over the weekend?
And give us that Rocky stat just about how good they are. How many times did they strike out in six innings?
Oh,
you blew my mind, Evan, if you remember off top. But
well,
they
he
were
pitched
whipping.
Six innings.
Okay.
That means he got 18 outs.
Yeah.
15 of them were via strikeout.
That is just good God.
Wow, dude. Yeah,
that's really hard
ball.
To do. That's really hard
so,
to do.
Evan, tell me if this is invalid or valid real quick. And I'm glad to have you back. If they move Snell, that means they're trying to that is Operation Rebuild for the net. That to me signals you are about to do another rebuild. And how the hell can Farhan be the overseer of basically two rebuilds?
We'll ask and answer that question on the other side. 888-957-9570 is the number. Which direction do you want to see the Giants go in? I think it has to do with the big domino that is Blake Snell. Evan Giddings in for Matt Steinmetz. That's Gerald the Goober Johnson. What's coming up in the game is presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromise.
To Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, I'm still feeling pretty jet lagged, Goo.
Yeah.
Not going to lie to you.
Yeah, but nobody could tell because you're in your bag.
Well, 6 cups of coffee, that'll have something to do with it. Maybe a little porridge. It is interesting, though, like looking at the city of San Francisco through the prism.
One of the most beautiful ones in the world, man.
Of a European architecture. It's interesting. Like, you notice subtle differences in buildings. You notice differences in how the streets look and how they're paved and whatnot. And you just notice also, like, just how people are.
What? Nicer?
No, actually quite not. Everyone in the city is very much locked in, but it's also interesting listening to how Swedish people view their own in comparison to like how we view Americans.
Well,
like, I think they're very nice, but they think that the city slickers in Stockholm are actually quite rude.
Well, there's a lot. Let's just get down to the crux of it all. A lot of baseball watching out there. They big into baseball or kind of not? A lot of soccer?
No, a lot of European football.
Okay.
Yeah. So
football.
Football. Yeah. And I do have a little bit of a football.
Carter.
I do have a little bit of a story to tell. Shout out Biggie.
Yeah, that's a four.
Later on in the show about getting out to a European football match. It was quite fun.
Were you ready to come home?
No.
Wow,
no.
Evan. Okay, so
no,
you enjoyed yourself.
Although it was fun listening to you guys overseas.
I shouted my boy out.
I did hear that. There was a particular individual named Carolina who was very happy to hear her name mentioned on the show as well. And
look at my guy.
But it was cool, like walking back at 1 a.m., 2 a.m., listening to you guys during your thing, especially during the mashup week last week, brought to you by Jack's Bar and Restaurant.
I love the 2-6, Evan.
You did?
Getting it in, pumping iron before, getting the juice.
Dude, you're looking slim.
Well, I'll take it. Shasky said the same thing. I'll take it. But we got some breaking news later about the 3-on-3 tournament, allegedly, Team 957.
Later in the week, I think. Yeah. We're giving, well, it's TBD.
Yeah.
But thank you. Yeah. For everyone who's welcomed me back, I'm excited to be back. I'm excited to be around my people. I'm excited to be talking sports, especially with everything that's been going on.
There's
right?
a lot, Evan.
There is. And I feel like I had to play catch up yesterday.
Shout out Hines.
Reading all these articles. Listening to a couple of the shows from last week, especially, and yeah, just trying to get back in the saddle, 10-2, and I'm also excited because we get to do it all week together with Steiny. We basically flip flop.
Yeah,
so he's out in London.
He's really missing you. We went to Sam's Friday.
I heard there was some action.
Yeah, but we were talking about you, and he's like, "I'm gonna miss Evan." I'm like, "You'll be back in a week, bud. You'll be all right."
Yeah, I mean, it's not like we've been forever here.
Let me throw this to you.
I thought about not coming back.
Let me throw this to you. Carter just put up a poll in regard to our conversation about the Giants, buy or sell. 62% are saying sell. Does that mean they're just done and out on this team? And the romantic that I am is anything can happen when you get to the offs. And the fact that you've done it twice in the last 10 years, why the hell would you not want to get that wild card game? Or which could lead to a series with the staff that's coming into focus like Minolta right now. Why would anybody want to do something different and, oh, we'll rebuild? Well, the guy you brought in to rebuild he's pretty much at a D-minus, hanging, fighting for his life. Why would you trust him? Or maybe they blow him out, and then you want to hit restart with a new Farhan. If I were a Giant fan, that wouldn't excite me. Let's capitalize, man. This rotation could be a problem if they earn a berth to the offs.
Well, and that rotation is the reason why they're in this predicament. Like, the reason why the Giants are not very good or haven't been very good, they haven't scored a ton of runs, and maybe their position players aren't very sexy and productive at all times. They're not consistent, but it's because they haven't pitched very well. Like, the strength of this team is their starting pitching.
Mm.
The starting pitching has not carried the weight that they put on their shoulders at the beginning of the season. That's why they're not very good. But now you actually do look at a rotation, and it sucks in a way that it's all come down to today, because you have nothing else to base off of. You only have the data from the previous 108 games to go off of, whether you're not going to move Blake Snell, whether you're going to lean all in on this rotation, whether you're going to go out and try and attract a big name or go out and trade for a bopper. You haven't seen the rotation at full strength. You haven't seen it. And even at this point, it's still not at full strength because Alex Cobb was envisioned being a part of that.
Yeah.
I'm willing to wait to see. I'm willing to wait and see if Blake Snell, Logan Webb, Kyle Harrison, or Hayden Birdsong, along with Robbie Ray, Cobb, and if you want to throw Jordan Hicks in the mix, you can do that as well. I'm willing to wait and see if that starting rotation or mix of 6 or 7 guys can help prop this team up to where they're supposed to be, which is threatening for a postseason position. They're 3.5 back with 54 games left.
And that's lightweight, a blessing to be 3.5 back.
Yes.
That thing was, before you got back, Evan, that was at 5.5. It was looking like, boy, this is going the wrong way.
Well, and this is from the 415. What's the point in making the playoffs when the Dodgers are just going to sweep and humiliate the Giants on a national stage?
You don't know that.
I would also point to the fact that the Dodgers have not won a World Series outside of a 60-game season.
And their rotation is in shambles.
Look at what the Padres did 2 years ago. I know that they're in a decent position this year. Last year, they flamed out.
How are they better without Soto? But go ahead.
That's
incredible.
We can definitely get into that. Well, 2 years ago, they traded for Juan Soto. Remember, that's part of why the Giants in 2022 didn't do anything at the deadline. Because they were quote-unquote all-in on Soto. But then, remember, Farhan came out after the deadline and said, well, they had better offers the Nationals did. They chose those. Because the Giants didn't have a C.J. Abrams. They didn't have a Mackenzie Gore. They didn't have a James Wood, who just made his debut for the Nationals a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
They didn't have these prospects to go out and get a name like Juan Soto. But the Padres did. And what did they do? They weren't a team that was threatening to win the division. Like, they were never going to catch the Dodgers. They beat the Dodgers in the postseason.
That's amazing.
They got to the NLCS 2 years ago with the manager of the Giants, currently employed, Bob Melvin. So there are examples of teams that have been aggressive at the deadline not just because they think that they're a piece or two away, but because there's an opportunity. There's an opportunity to court and get and trade for talent that combined with the group that is beginning to get healthier, your starting pitching staff, you can envision that being a team that can make a run. And I don't think the Giants have a choice but to try and make a run because, and I'll just say it, if the Giants sell Snell, Farhan nails his own coffin.
Man.
If they sell Snell, Farhan is putting the nail in his own coffin. And he's essentially saying, either because ownership wants him out or because he doesn't believe in this team, that he is done. And I think that's why people want them to sell more than anything, because they believe that that is the quickest path to relieving themselves as fans of having to root for a team that's run by Farhan Zaidi.
That, Evan, you, speaking of nails, I think you just nailed it. And maybe that's why the poll Carter put up is the it looks the way it does now, with over 60% of fans saying they would rather sell. But I'll give you a sales term. ROI. I need my return on investment. And if I say night-night to Snell, why would I do that with 54 games left in a season? Evan, in baseball, that's a long-ass time. A lot can happen, and 3.5 games is nothing when you look at it through that prism. But also, too, I think of the great Theo Epstein. You guys that get the job done, you got to have a gut feeling like Bruce Bochy. I used to look at him, and I still do, is he's a guy that trusts his gut and his instinct. Farhan has to look at his own team, Evan, and feel like, you know what? Everything that you just said in the last segment about the reason, or the most of the reason, that we're not where we're supposed to be as a starting staff and health, you got to know that. So now the trust is, are you going to trust that and go all in? But about nailing this coffin, Evan, I don't even think there's a coffin, because he should have been fired with Gabe Kapler, who he handpicked. Okay, he didn't. He got re-upped in a year that was not conducive to winning at all. He survived that, and he got re-upped. So to me, that's a turnoff. But the bottom line is, the Luciano debacle. All I heard about during the Farhan tenure was Luciano and what they were going to do. But to butcher that, shout out Shasky, to where we now, I don't even hear his name come up to where he's attractive to other teams, or you could dangle him. We don't even know what his position is. And you mentioned that series on the road earlier this season in the first half where he was just booting routine ground balls. To me, his position and how he's been handled, that's a failure in itself. But man, if you can't dangle or use him, if Fitzgerald, if you believe in him with how he's gotten hot these last 11 games, it's just a cluster. I can't say the word because I need to pay my bills. Like, that alone should say night night to Farhan. But what's amazing to me is people are so down on Farhan, just the word and the man himself, his lack of personality, that Evan, they would rather go the Joe Shasky route and have this team not make it and retool. But what I break out here in that baseball hives is, you never know when that rebuild is going to, that retool is going to get you back. So that's which way you want to go.
I'm not optimistic.
Man.
Well, again, you've made the postseason BPA two times in the last 10 years. You haven't won a postseason series in 10 years.
And you're the Giants.
Well, exactly. That's
three
what the,
and five.
But that's what the Giants have become. That's what the Giants are. That's what the Giants are known for.
Woo!
Being a team on the West Coast that is a premier brand and historic organization that is not really that historic anymore. That is kind of a part of the past.
You can't get guys.
And so I would ask, if you do sell, how does that help you? Like, how does that retool your organ? How does that get you closer to not being the team that's known as a group that has not won a postseason series in a decade? How does that help? Is it selling Snell for a prospect that might come up in a couple of years? Because that didn't help you next year. Like, if you fire Farhan, let's say best case scenario right for a lot of these fans, right? You tank the season, you go out and get a prospect or two, you fall flat on your face, you fire Farhan, all that happens. Yay! Everybody's laughing and heralding
Yay,
the Giants.
That's
here.
What I needed, my man.
Thank you. Shout out Steiny.
Yeah, I texted him. Did he made it? He didn't even text back. But go ahead.
That's classic Steiny too. All that happens. That doesn't get you any closer to your goal.
Man.
Because in 2025, no one's going to be excited about the Giants.
That,
And no one's been excited about them the past 5 years, it appears, outside of one miracle season. But I just don't see how that helps you.
It's Monday. Yesterday was Sunday. But my friend, you are back and you are preaching and you're teaching. And I'll say this. This might be too strong for some, Evan, but I still think you have the blood of Bruce Bochy on your hands, Farhan. I wasn't born yesterday. And I do believe he could have stayed. But you got off of him. And guess what he did? Went to the Lone Star State and won a World Series. So I'm the type of guy that doesn't forget about that. You fired your handpicked guy. So yeah, if Farhan thinks he's got that much, cachet or clout, boy, he got the deluxe package because Evan, I thought he should have went out with, Gabe Kapler. He didn't, but there's just no way, my friend, by tomorrow you sell when you got Snell doing his thing and the other guys that look like, in the rotation starting to come into, form. Why would you not try to get that playoff berth?
It's a great question. Let's ask it. 888-957-9570. Evan Giddings in for Matt Stein. Matt Sterrell, the Guru Johnson. We got Mark Schlereth coming up at 12:30 to discuss, I think, some pretty flame comments, some pretty hot comments about Brandon Ayuk and his hold in. Again, we got the news earlier from Adam Schefter that Ricky Pearsall is removed from the non-injury list or the injury list for, so he is practicing today for the first time in training camp. We'll keep an eye on that as well, along with everything coming out from training camp throughout the week here on 95.7 The Game. But that's going to be at 12:30 again via the River Islands guest line. But let's get out to our phone lines.
Yes, sir.
And talk to Sean in Berkeley, East Bay Cat, my guy. What's up, Sean? What's going on, man? How are you on this Monday? Oh, guess we lost him. Sorry. Call back, Sean. 888-957-9570 is the number. This is from the 510. The rebuild that will never end. From the 650, the Giants have been boring to watch. Well, again, I don't know why they wouldn't be boring next year if you sell. I don't know why they wouldn't be boring in the next couple of years if you sell. I think the only choice that this franchise have, both if you're Farhan and you want to save your job, but also if you're legitimately in a position to get, I don't know, close enough to the play, like making the playoffs is better than not making the playoffs. But that's where the front office has resigned the fan base to, is that they would rather not make the playoffs if it means moving off of this guy and just starting from ground zero. And that's, I don't think that this team right now is at ground zero. They were at ground zero when Farhan took over. Like they didn't have much outside of what was left of the past in Posey, Crawford, Belt, but Bochy was on his way out. This was a team that was stuck in terrible seasons. I don't remember fans being too happy about that. I don't remember them being excited about winning 60-plus games, about winning 70-plus games. That's where the future is if you do choose to quote unquote sell everything.
Yeah, but Evan, that was, I hear you. I don't disagree, but that was a regime that could say, hey, at least we won 3-5. At least we've shown you we can get to the mountaintops and climb the highest of mountains. And they did it three times from the wild card spot, a few times during that run. So again, I just don't think they got the necessary pieces on the chessboard to say, or the guy running the chessboard, to where we can get right back. I'm a swindler. I know how to get over. So if his job is really on the line and I'm wrong, there is no way the Giants are going to give up one of their best player right now on the Giants, with the most value, which is Snell to me. There's just no way, Evan.
You don't think that they're going
to
get...
give up. They're not going to even entertain moving them. You got to go. What did you say? The trading deadline was actually the offseason for the Giants, where they went spending and did everything, splurged. So you got to see this thing out. And if I'm Farhan, that's the last thing I'm doing, is pulling the plug and admitting failure when I got 54 effing games left to hope this team gets hot.
I mean, and this is also an interesting point, you know, about this from the 650. Farhan was here to rebuild the farm system. Sell Snell. He can walk at the end of the year anyway and at least get something back. That's why I also, and maybe I'm just, I don't know, kind of reading the body language of Zaidi here, but the other reason I don't think that they're going to sell Blake Snell is because of that very reason, because of his opt-out. And what that means is another team that's acquiring his services are also going to be a bit hesitant on Blake Snell, because either he's going to be a rental And this is the entire thing. If Snell pitches his ass off the last couple of months, whether it's for the Giants or whether it's for, I don't know, the Baltimore Orioles, yeah, who are a team that has been interested
in. Or the Yankees.
The Kansas City Royals, who were on there up until they traded for Michael Lorenzen earlier today. The New York Yankees. Any team that goes out and acquires Blake Snell, if he pitches well, he's going to become a free agent this offseason anyways.
Yeah.
So the Giants, I think in a way, would be better off by keeping him, because the haul that he's going to bring in to me is not going to be worth the type of talent that he actually is. Because one, he hasn't had a very good season. He's pitched well in his last couple of starts, but he's got a 5.7 ERA.
The last year Cy Young now. He's showing us.
But that's why I think teams are going to try and buy low on him. Because he's got an entire season right now that says he's a 5.7 pitcher. That's his earned run average.
Yeah.
They're not just going to say, and the Giants are going to say, well, he's coming around. He just struck out 15. You know, that's one shy of the franchise record, right? This is a guy that's beginning to find himself. So we're going to demand a big pile of prospects. I don't think there's a team out there that is going to give up what the Giants want for Blake Snell. And that's another reason I don't see it. I don't think that they can find a haul, and you're not going to just, again, give up a guy for nothing, even if it's for a couple players. Sure, would I love if the Baltimore Orioles offered Jackson Holliday, or, you know, if they gave up Kierstead, who's another first-round pick? Like, I would love to have that all come back for the Giants. If I'm the Baltimore Orioles, there's no way in hell I'm giving up a haul for Blake Snell, because just like people are talking about here in the Bay, he might walk at the end of the season.
Yeah, but what if and I know the Dodgers and Giants, that's, I don't want to say unrealistic, anything could pop off, but what if the Dodgers, with that, you know, when they're healthy, one of the best lineups to ever do it, Evan, one of the best lineups in baseball, what if they thought and looked at a guy like, we'll roll the dice with Snell. He can put us over the top or get us back to compete. What if they were to give you a package that just blew your socks off? Would Farhan then do it, or would it be, we're not helping the Dodgers at all? But if I'm a contender like the Yankees and Orioles, Evan, I'll deal with that after the season. But if Snell is this version of him right now, he can put you over the top, I believe. And I think some teams would be so thirsty, Yankees one of them, to where they might be willing to get off some top-tier prospects, and we would be shocked at the return. But again, that would be Farhan nailing his own coffin. I hadn't heard that term, but that's what he's staring at. I just, 3.5 back to me doesn't mean you're 9 back. So realistically, you could kind of get in if you continue to play good baseball. So I wouldn't move him. That's just me.
If I'm going to put my GM hat on, the reason why I would sell Snell for would be similar to like the Soto package. So
what did that consist of?
So you asked me last segment why the Padres are so much better this year than last year, even though they don't have Juan Soto. Well, it's because they got a bunch of pro-ready players. Like, I think that's what I heard when Dave Fleming last week with, I believe, the Morning Roast was talking about how selling doesn't mean tanking. If you're selling Snell, I actually don't think that the Giants would take a bunch of, you know, long off top prospects that are 3 or 4 years away. Because again, that doesn't help you. How I would view the deadline is buying towards 2025 or selling towards 2025, because I want to try and give it a go this year.
Oh,
see,
man,
if they can make the postseason. But more importantly, make sure that next year is not a repeat of the last couple seasons, which has just been gross. It's just been icky. Just been like a team that you don't know who's going to get hot. It could be Tyler Fitzgerald, but he could fall off the cliff next week. Is Helio Ramos going to be an all-star again next season? I'm not so sure. Is Matos going to be ready? Is Luciano, like, there's so many questions that surround the Giants roster right now that you're going to try and make the playoffs this year. But I think you also have to view 2025 as a season that is important and not one that you're basically selling off for or buying all in for.
Well, you know what? I'll say to what you just spoke about, Evan, is Farhan the guy? Has he earned that right to oversee 2025 if we want to do that? Because I'm not the future guy at all. But that's basically the right on the table brought to you by ATCO. Is he how many chances is he going to get at the plate to kind of turn this thing around? And to do what he did and shock the world with Jung Hoo Lee, Snell, Chapman, and Soler. I saluted him because I was like, man, okay, you did something. But if this is what the stew tastes like, yuck. You just said it, gross. I want a do-over, but is he the chef? Is he going to be the guy overseeing the next meal, all depending on what they do tomorrow?
I think it's a good question. Let's ask Patrick and Sam Bruno. 888-957-9570. Evan Infersteiny with Guru. Patrick, what's going on, man? What do you think the Giants should do?
Guys, how you doing today?
Fantastic.
You know, I wanted to, at first, I have a couple of points to make, but first of all, let's look at this philosophically from the big picture, okay? You have an ownership group that I really feel, and I think a lot of Giants fans feel this way, that are content just you know, because, you know, they're the fourth largest money earner in the league. So for them looking at it, it's like, you know what, if we put a semi-competitive team on the field, you know, towards the end of the season, if we're still in that kind of wild card mix, we got the fans content, you know, we're not giving long-term contracts to players. To them, that's paradise, right? So maybe, and I can't stand Farhan at all, I agree with you guys, but also, I believe it's an ownership problem. So what I think they should do is they should try to go in all in this season. They've made that commitment. For them not to do it now would be a humiliation, I think. Number two, why in the world would you trade Snell when, you know, they tried to get him back early when he wasn't healthy? He even said that. But now that he's healthy, I mean, let's see what he can do. And if he's a great pitcher, and we need a left, it's hard to find left-hand starting pitchers that can pitch like that. Let's try and get him signed for 2 or 3 years. The problem is, a lot of these big-time hitters, like, they've had chances to trade for Pete Alonso and a lot of other hitters, right? Big-time hitters. The problem is, these guys don't want to come and be platooned. Number two, we already had a disadvantage because they don't like the ballpark. It's not a hitter's ballpark. So you got to try everything you can do to get a big-time power hitter in. Vladimir Guerrero is available, for example. But you can't. These guys want long-term contracts. You're not going to sign the type of hitter that they need without giving them a long, you know, a nice commitment. Would Barry Bonds have come here if he had got a 2-year deal? You know, so I think that's where we're at. It's a very bad mixture of a bad general manager who no one wants to play for with this metrics, and an ownership group that's just content staying competitive, not necessarily winning, but just staying competitive. Mm. So I wanted to see what you guys thought about that.
I think it's interesting and something we can also continue on the other side. This is in from Jeff Passan. Again, the MLB trade deadline is a little over 24 hours right away. Tomorrow, 3 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. From ESPN's Jeff Passan, the Cardinals, White Sox, and Dodgers in an agreement on a 3-way deal that will include right-hander Eric Fetty, who comes from Chicago. He's going to St. Louis, and then the infielder Tommy Edman will go from the Cardinals to the Dodgers. So the Dodgers get a utility infielder, and the St. Louis Cardinals get a starting pitcher. Mm-hmm. White Sox are getting a haul of prospects in return. That's per Ken Rosenthal, actually, who had it first. So movement's beginning to happen. We saw Michael Lorenzen get moved. We saw Randy Arozarena get moved to his other prospect. Yeah. Jazz Chisholm, who I think was a favorite of a few guys at the station last week. He's on the Yankees and made his debut on Sunday Night Baseball last
Roberts
night.
Roberts is still on the White Sox.
He is, and Vladimir Guerrero is still on the Blue Jays, and that's somebody that Patrick, I think, was high on. You know, but the question is now, who do you give up? And that's a question I can also throw out to the people at 888-957-9570. If you are in the camp, Goo, of buying, and both you and I are, you're all in.
Yeah, stand pat and buy.
I think the one thing they can't do is sell.
Oh, there you go.
I would rather buy than sell. I do not think that selling is an option right now for everything that they've done. But who are you willing to give up? Who are you willing to move on from? Because there was something that they did not do 2 years ago that could have vastly improved the roster. They might have an opportunity to undo that this offseason. Again, the number is 888-957-9570. Evan Ginnings in for Matt Steinmetz with Daryl the Guru Johnson. That segment was brought to you by Safeway Northern California Division.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
This is life before tech care. Cracked computers and leaky fridges.
I'm sorry, we just don't cover that.
This is the future of tech care. Thousands of devices are covered. Repairs and replacements are always close by. And 1 a.m. problems? Get 1 a.m. support. Finally, you're not just covered, you're taken care of. Get the future of tech care at Asurion.com/techcare.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.